What's up, guys? It's three-time NFL Pro Bowler, all-decade return specialist, Josh Cribbs. I want to welcome you to the Match Sports Connection podcast, where Alex hosts the Mid-American Conference Best.
Welcome back to the Max Sports Connection Podcast. I'm your host, Alex the Captain. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. Introducing something new. It's going to be featured all spring long as we hit the dog days of Mac baseball, especially as we get into conference play. It's going to be the Mac Baseball Rundown. Thank you so much to Graham Giles for contributing, putting that together. It's going to be a bi-weekly segment. So Graham, without further ado, take it away.
The runner at first takes off for second, but the pitcher whirls, and folks, you've been caught in another Mac baseball rundown. Kent State hopes this start to the season is just a golden flash in the pan, as they are a disappointing 2-8. The Flash has picked up just their second victory of the season on March 2nd, beating Jacksonville State 8-4. Center fielder Josh Johnson went 3-for-3 with 2 walks and 5 RBIs down in Jacksonville, but not that Jacksonville. Kent State looks to turn things around this week with a homestand, including a midweek game against Tiffin and a weekend series against the Central Michigan Chippewas. Northern Illinois starts the season 3-10 with wins over Abilene Christian, Northwestern State, and Big 12 foe Cincinnati. Catcher Cooper Cone went 3-for-4 with a double and a home run and 3 RBIs as the Huskies taught Cincinnati if it's off Broadway, it's barely Cats, winning 6-4 on March 2nd. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe as the Falcons took on Memphis. DJ Newman caught those Tigers by the toe and held them scoreless over 7 innings in his start on February 23rd. Newman gave up just 2 hits and 1 walk while striking out a career-high 11. And not allowing a single run, he picked up his first win of the season, as well as Pitcher of the Week, while Bowling Green notched their first victory over Memphis in program history. BGSU sitting at 2 wins and 7 losses. Eastern Michigan begins the season 3-8. Logan Hugo, or should I say Hugo, his van was rocking, but he did the knocking, going 4-5 with a triple, 2 stolen bases, and an RBI, as the Eastern Eagles scored 14 runs on 13 hits to beat Houston Christian 14-4. All my exes live in Texas. Central Michigan was breaking hearts in the Lone Star State as they take 2 of 3 from Stephen F. Austin, but got the boot as Dallas Baptist and Oklahoma State said don't mess with the Southwest and sent the Chippewas home with some painful memories. Central Michigan is 3-9 to start the season. Holy Toledo! Catcher Braden White went 3-5 with 3 RBIs and a home run, while the Rockets had a 7-run fourth inning and a close win over Southeast Missouri 10-9 on March 3rd. Toledo has started the year 4-6 and has matchups against Dayton and Akron this week. Watch out, naysayers. The Zips may be ready to play ball. Akron zips right past favorites Illinois, Fordham, and Duke to begin the good year 3-7. Pitcher of the week, Sean Perkins, took the hill down 2-1 against Duke in the second game of the series and hurled 5 innings of near spotless baseball, allowing just 2 hits and 1 run while striking out 2. He held Duke's hitters to a combined 118 batting average with some help from sophomore Dawson Turney, who fanned 6 Duke hitters over 4 innings of work as the Zips defeated the number 12 Blue Devils 4-2 on March 2nd. The Ohio Bobcats start the season 3-6 in a 3-2 win against the University of Illinois Chicago on March 2nd. Right fielder Paulie Machino had a home run and 2 RBIs, while left fielder A.J. Rausch went 2-for-3 at the plate. The Bobcats look to claw some more wins in matchup against Youngstown State and Northern Illinois this week. Miami's Ryland Zabrowski takes home Player of the Week honors with 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, and 2 doubles. And went 9-for-14 as the Redhawks sweep Oakland in a 3-game series. Miami has started the year 5-5 and looks to finish this week in plus territory with games against Wright State and Bowling Green. Western Michigan takes out the Brooms in a four-game sweep of Pepperdine, where Grady Grand Salami went 8-for-14 at the plate with 8 runs scored, 6 RBIs, and a .684 on base percentage, plus a grand slam to capture Player of the Week. The Broncos are 6-5 on the year and take on Presbyterian, Western Carolina, VCU, and Michigan State this week. Ball so hard must be state. Ball State has started the year 7-4 and sits atop the conference standings. The Cardinals were straight illin' against the Illini on February 25th with a 7-1 win. Logan Schulfer pitched a potent 5.1 with no earned runs and 3 strikeouts, while Michael Hallquist made it happen at the plate, going 2-for-3 with a home run and 3 RBIs. Ball State hopes to extend their winning ways with games against Florida A&M and Eastern Michigan this week. And that, baseball fans, is the Mac Baseball Rundown. I'll catch you next time between the bases.
Lots of action happening on the diamond, and Grant will be delivering all of that content to you all spring long, so a big thank you to him. This week, I bring on Eaton Rapids' favorite son, Central Michigan alumni, the voice of the Chippewas since 2019, Adam Jaxa. Adam, welcome to the show.
What's up, man? Thanks for giving my Greyhounds a shout-out. I appreciate you.
I respect high schools and that whole atmosphere, that environment. You know, gotta recognize where you come from, and had to shout that out for you.
I mean, if anybody wants to know my career trajectory, high school maroon and gray, college maroon and gold. I will not take a job unless there's maroon involved. Clearly,
I don't know if they make a maroon in what, bronze. I feel like that'd be a weird color combination.
It's got to be out there somewhere.
Probably some D3 school, right? But no, Adam, welcome to the show. Been so excited about the idea of having you on the show. I know you and I have connected intermittently a couple times over football season and just kind of talked about different things. We met up again at CMU Toledo this past fall. And like I said, I'm just so glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. And really, I'm sure you've heard this from everybody across the MAC, but thanks for spreading the love of this conference. It's a ton of fun to cover, as you know, being a part of it. And we really appreciate, I certainly do, everything that you do and all the content you put out. It's been awesome to see.
Well, thank you. It's as you said, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a labor of love, I think, is the way I like to phrase it when talking about it. But it's been such a joy and such a privilege, obviously, to meet people like you, some of the other great voices in this conference that I've had the honor and the privilege of meeting. And Adam, let's just get right into it. You talk about, you know, Eaton Rapids, kind of your upbringing. What was the inspiration for you for broadcasting? Where was that kind of kick for you? Was that in high school? Was that earlier on? When did you know this is my future?
Yeah, I just grew up with sports my entire family. My dad was a big sports fan, and he was a coach for me and my two sisters. He coached everything and anything for us. My mom also was active in sports, and they're super passionate about it. And I was a split family. My dad went to Ann Arbor, Flint, and Michigan, and my mom and my two sisters went to Michigan State. So you can imagine what those November Saturdays in East Lansing and Ann Arbor were like in our home. And then we all played, like my sisters played softball and volleyball, and, my middle sister was really good at swimming, and I was soccer, basketball, did some golf. I mean, in anything I could get my hands on. So I just grew up with sports. It was a big thing in our family. If we weren't playing it or going to practices, we were watching it. And I actually went to my first school out of high school. I went and played D3 soccer at Trine. And that's where I was like, I don't know if I can make it in sports broadcasting. It always been something that I wanted to do, but I was a little hesitant. So here I am, not a math nerd at all, and said, let's try engineering because we all need engineers. And I tried Calc 2 and it didn't go well. So about half a semester in, I realized I was doing the wrong thing. And I ended up transferring up to CMU to go into broadcasting. I think it always been something that I wanted to do, but I was a little hesitant with all of the people around me telling me, hey, just so you know, this career field is very difficult. But again, Alex, as you know, you got to follow what you love and do what you're passionate about.
Well, and I think to that point, you talk about doing what you're passionate about. You talk about kind of that road to it. Engineering, that's a pretty big switch from engineering back over to sports broadcasting. But I think you've done this right, and you've done this, you know, with respect to yourself. I mean, you look at the laundry list of, you know, things that you have done, working with the Detroit Pistons and Nuggets G League affiliates. You've done stuff for Michigan State, Virginia, Wolford, like just looking at your profile on the CMU page, like you've done a lot of really incredible stuff. It looks like you even mentor other students who are working on this career path. And I think that's such a cool thing that not many people get to really look at, right? You know, talk about that experience of now being up in the booth and kind of making that transition from student broadcaster to the voice. You know, I know you mentioned it was a pretty unique experience. Kind of shed some light on that and on how that opportunity popped up for you.
Yeah, it's been a weird journey for me. I started doing our ESPN3 and ESPN Plus stuff in 2014, pretty much right when the Mac ESPN deal got signed. And I was super grateful CMU reached out to me to bring me back pretty much right after I graduated. And then, yeah, working with the late, great Don Scheido. I mean, he was the voice for 10 years here, and he did such an awesome job of mentoring students like myself and others that came through. So while I was doing our ESPN 3 at the time stuff, he was like, hey, do you want to do sideline for, at the time it was IMG. Now it's more from IMG Learfield to just Learfield, but he let me do sideline and host and kind of be around the broadcasts. And he let me fill in for him if he had to miss a football broadcast or a basketball broadcast, or if he had a color commentary opening, he'd allow me to come and do the games with him and just kind of be around the radio side. It was honestly unique, because I feel like when I graduated, most kids had more radio experience than TV, because the streaming platforms were just starting. And I was kind of backwards, where I got the streaming platform experience first when I had no TV experience. And oh my gosh, if you go back and listen to some of those 2014 broadcasts, let me just say how grateful I am that CMU didn't give up on me. They weren't great, obviously, but, you know, with time, like anything else, you get better, you get more comfortable. So, yeah, I was doing the ESPN3 stuff, and then the shocking 2019, Don dies in a car accident 3 days before the MAC football championship. So it was heartbreaking in Mount Pleasant, not just because everybody loved this guy, but when you look at the trajectory of his career, he took over with Brock in 2010, and they did games the entire 2010s decade with CMU not going to a MAC championship. So it was the first time in 2019, in Jim McElwain's first year, this incredible turnaround, and 3 days before the championship game, he passes away. So it was just like a range of emotions, a moment in my life, and I'm sure everybody else that was connected to Don, like I was, never will forget it. And then 3 days later, you're stepping into a chair that is not yours, should not be yours at that time, to call a MAC championship game with all of these heavy emotions. And from there on, I've been the voice of CMU. So it was a weird moment. But I am super grateful for Don and all of the opportunities he provided to me and the mentoring he gave to me to get myself ready for an opportunity that I just did not expect at that moment in time.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, to have something like that, just, I mean, you talk about being a young guy, not really feeling like you've, I guess, really earned your stripes in that moment, right? You're just looking at the giant that Don was compared to your relatively young career. You know, it's, I'm sure, you know, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of CMU fans. The work that you've done has been incredible the last several years. It's been awesome to kind of catch some of your broadcasts, listen to just the work that you've put in. I know Don is smiling at you. I can say that, and I feel confident saying that you've done an incredible job in that role since then.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I really do. Yeah, that's always kind of been my goal. I think, you know, anybody, Alex, you get, whether you're in broadcasting or any other profession, you typically have someone that you look up to and that you want to make proud and that you hope you can shed some of their light in your own way. And that was a big part of when I got that, of just trying to be me, but also not forgetting Don. And there was nothing more special than, you know, Central Michigan. It took a while because it's a process, but to get our radio booth named the Don Scheidel Home Radio Booth, and for them to put up a nice plaque, and for people to always memorialize him, and for us to always be able to come back for home games at Kelly Shorts on the Air and say, hey, we're live in the Don Scheidel Home Radio Booth. I can't tell you how much that means to me, and I know how much it means to other individuals and his family, which they should be so proud of everything he did. I mean, he bled maroon and gold, and his spirit and his humor, his wittiness. I mean, he was just a joy to be around. And that's all I hope to try and become, is just someone that people can gravitate towards and know that I'm passionate about CMU athletics. And I love doing what I do, because I know he had that same passion. Every time I saw him at the game, he not only lit up my face, but everybody around was just excited to see him. And it was really cool to see the community in an unfortunate circumstance come together to celebrate him when that happened.
Sure, sure. I wanted to kind of backtrack a little bit. You talked about some of those early broadcasts and being a little bit rough, in your words.
A little bit.
Which one's the most memorable to you? Was it that first one? Do you remember anything about the game, or is it just like a, oh my God, I'm here, I'm doing this?
I'm going to tell you what, I've been a Michigander pretty much my whole life, but my first job right out of college, I went all the way out to Evanston, Wyoming, which is
okay
in the southwest corner of Wyoming. It's about an hour 15, hour 30 from Salt Lake City. I'm just trying to find a job. And at this time, like, I wasn't a huge baseball fan. So the minor league baseball, I would have done it, but it wasn't like my first choice, because that's, for a lot of guys, like the initial job out of college. And okay. So I went to this local high school radio station. It was a high school radio station, or just a regular radio sports radio station that covered high school sports.
Okay.
And they basically had me and two other guys. They made us like the sports director of that school. So we call the games, we do interviews with the coaches, the players, but they also did local tie-in stuff. And the first game I did out there was a little league game. And they set us up in left field. So our vantage point is in left field beyond the fence. And the rosters that they gave us, somebody gave them to us, but it was the wrong, they switched the teams and we didn't know. So we're calling the game. Mind you, we're in Wyoming. So for folks that haven't been to Wyoming, it's very desolate and there's wind. Like, imagine wind at all of these MAC football stadiums on a Tuesday night and times that by like 10.
Oh no.
So our papers are all rustling around. We don't realize we have the wrong names for each team and we're just calling it the game. And it's kind of like when a coach says they remember the losses more than the wins. I will never forget that moment. It was hilarious because we're in the middle of Wyoming, the middle of nowhere. It's our first game. Kind of, I'm meeting these individuals and calling this game for the first time. And then we didn't find out till after the fact. We had the team switched. I don't know if anybody listened, but it was the most hilarious thing. We've got these little camcorder cameras on these tiny, like, flimsy tripods that are falling over as we're trying to shoot the game. The papers are blown. It was a mess. And that was the first one that I'm like, okay, I'm never going to forget this broadcast, but like, what also am I doing here?
So did that end your career as a minor league broadcaster? Or I'm sorry, as a little league broadcaster?
Yeah, it was one and done. So I don't know if I got fired from that role and they believed in me to do the other sports, but we never did that again. And I'm grateful because that was a disaster.
Now, when you were doing you mentioned doing the high school sports and kind of being the sports director with that. Do you have any games that stick out to you? Was there any magical postseason runs with that school or anything like that? Or was it just kind of a, hey, this is a job and we're getting through this. This is, you know, this is that experience I've been craving.
I hate to go to this again, going with the things that stuck out for bad reasons better than good, but I was only there for a short time. So I got it right out of college.
Okay.
I think I got out there in like May or June, and then I only had the job till December. That's when I came back and started working for CMU. So I only did football season.
Okay.
And Alex, we had the worst football team in the entire state of Wyoming. We didn't win a game. If we scored points in a game, it was big news. And shout out to the Kemmerer Rangers. But they had this brand new turf field. Awesome setup for me. I'm getting an opportunity to do football play-by-play, which is so coveted because there's so few games and it's not a lot of chances. But our team was just so bad. So that's always the joke. When I still talk to actually the AP Herald was one of the guys, and Ryan Steinekirk, who is still buddies, they were the high school kind of directors, sports directors for the other two schools in that area. And still to this day, they will make jokes about how Kemmerer was so bad when I was out there for that small stint. But that's what I remember, never winning and getting so excited when we just scored one touchdown in a football game.
Yeah, that's that reminds me a lot of my high school. And shout out to Jared Pugsley, if you're listening. I'm not throwing you under the bus. This is not an indictment on you at all. The former Akron Zip turned NFL pro. We were awful. We won seven games my entire high school career. We went 7-33. My freshman year, we won our first game of the year. And I was so excited. I was in marching band. I was so excited. You know, I'm like, this is awesome. And the band director, I will never forget this. You talk about remembering things for the wrong reason. I will never forget this. We won that game. It was by like a touchdown. She said, that's going to be our only win of the season. And she was right. She went to Ohio State, grew up a diehard Buckeye. And she had been doing marching band at this high school for, I think at this point, about 16 years. And she turned to us and said, guys, that's going to be our only win of the year. And she was right. And
she
they
knew.
Weren't close. They weren't close. We were losing to teams like Dublin Kaufman. I don't know if you're familiar with them out of the Columbus, Ohio area. AKA the Ohio State JV team, was what they were affectionately nicknamed. We lost to them like 66-3, like, you know, just different things like that. So I get what you're saying when you talk about bad high school football. It's rough out there.
We can bond on this because I've got you beat. Unfortunately, my high school football team won four games over my high school career. And now you understand why I played soccer.
Yes. Yes. Our soccer team wasn't much better, but I'm going to trust and believe that Adam saved the day for his high school soccer team. We're just going to let that be on record here. Speaking of bonding over things, we've got a Twitter thread that you need to kind of tell people about. You and I think one of the first times we connected on Twitter was over naming and last name misspellings or name misspellings. You had posted this Twitter thread where you were Adam Jaska and just all these variations of your last name. Kind of go over that.
Yeah, this has been a trend in my family, and it's hilarious because it's not just me or my sisters. My one sister is married, so she doesn't have to deal with it as much anymore, but it's my cousins, it's my aunts, it's my uncles. The Croatian Jackson name apparently is super tough. So I don't mean to get upset with the SIDs. It's not meant to be that. It's just funny to me that a simple name that literally J-A-K-S-A, and it's pronounced exactly as it's spelled, for some reason, everybody wants to flip the S and the K. And it's not just spelling it, it's saying it. So I'll get Jaska. I've gotten Jackson more than you believe. I've got some weird ones. But at one point, I was like, okay, I'm a weirdo that keeps all of my credentials. So I just have a stack, like, in my apartment at home of, yeah, I know, everybody. It's kind of like the typical thing to do to remember, like, where you've been. Yeah. And at one point, I'm looking at these and I'm like, oh my God, do I have more credentials that have been misspelled than correctly spelled? And then one day when we're just having a petty party thinking about this, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to share this wonderfulness with the world and put it on Twitter. So if you go to my Twitter, you can go back to a thread that I think started in like November of 2021, where I compiled like the 15 or so misspelled credentials that I had. And now, unfortunately, for any SID that's listening, I am sorry. I'm not calling you out. It's just part of the bit. Anytime that I get one now, I add it to the thread. And what's great about it is like new people come aboard every time I post and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. And like, this is so great. We had no idea that this happened. And now like people will ask me like on Twitter or anywhere else when I'm at a football game or a basketball game, the one thing they want to know, hey, did they correctly spell your last name right? We got to know. So it's just kind of, it's kind of been a fun thing and it's always in my family. I've just embraced it. And I just think it's comical to me. Cause again, I know everybody can't get names right. And who cares about my last name? It is what it is. But to me, it's funny. Cause I'm like, I feel like this isn't that hard, but it continues to get messed up. So the bit rolls on my super petty Twitter thread.
So you've had the fortunate is not the right word, but you've had the unique experience of continuing to add to your thread. The first credential I ever got from the Mid-American Conference, Jeremy Guy, I love you. Jeremy's wonderful. Get to know Jeremy if you don't know him. But the first time I got a credential from the Mac, I was so excited. It was like my first, like, you know, I think this podcast has wheels, like we're doing this thing. My last name was spelled wrong and I was devastated.
You're ready to frame it and everything, put it on the wall.
I was so excited. Like, and it was spelled S-C-H-E-E-E-R. There was an extra
three
E in there.
E's.
Three E's. Jeremy, that's not your fault. It was some intern. I'm sure of it. But since then the year after, I think it was Media Day, the C was dropped. And then I have another one where it's the C is dropped and one of the E's is replaced with an A. So those have been the three variations I've seen on my last name. But I think that's so wild that you continue to have your name just messed up. People keep adding to that wonderful Twitter thread. And it's one of my favorites.
It's kind of like I come from this small city in Eaton Rapids, and then you go to Mount Pleasant, who's kind of like the underdog spot that's not the big Michigan or Michigan State or anything. So it goes with kind of my underdog story. And honestly, I get more sad when they get the name right now, because I'm like, well, now I don't get to add to the thread. So here I am. I'm not upset SIDs. I'm more happy when it's wrong so I can add.
You heard that, SIDs. His name is not spelled how he sends it to you. So make sure you spell that wrong. It's Adam Smith for future SIDs. So you get back to CMU. You finish up your time out in Wyoming. You get back to CMU. Are you thrown right into the basketball? Were you doing gymnastics? What are we getting into when you get back to CMU?
Yeah, all of the ESPN3 stuff that we were producing. So basketball, women's and men's, wrestling, which I'd never done, gymnastics, which I'd never done, volleyball, which I had done a little bit of. And then also I was doing a lot of video stuff. So that's when I really learned how to video edit under my former boss, Todd Edwards, super helpful to me. And then, any content like interviews, website content, social media content. So it was a great opportunity for me to kind of, as I mentioned, get some of the digital experience, because I hadn't spent a lot of time in front of the camera. It had been, Adam, you can have uncombed hair and your beard can look terrible and you can look half mopey and asleep because you're on the radio. Nobody will see what you look like. And it was like, oh, okay, I need to stare at the camera and not look like a weirdo and make sure that my hair is somewhat presentable. So it was, it was like a shockingly new experience, but it's helped because it as much as you wouldn't think, it takes, or at least for me, it did a while to become kind of natural in front of the camera, because you're supposed to be looking at it like it's someone that you're talking to, and then potentially you're talking to somebody else. And at first, you just cringe every time you see yourself on camera and you're like, why did I move my hand like that? Why did I roll my eyes and look the other way? Just so many disastrous moments in the early on.
So you talk about, now I think you would have been part of the cruise with some of those NCAA tournament teams for the women, right?
Yeah. Yep.
How cool was that?
Oh, it was awesome. I'll never give enough thanks to Sue Guevara and the way she represented CMU and turned around the program, because basketball at Central Michigan, there has been a lot of history, but it's been a long time ago that it happened. And they hadn't been to the NCAA tournament since the 83-84 teams that went back-to-back that were actually just honored in the Central Michigan Marcy Weston Athletic CMU Athletics Hall of Fame recently. Mm-hmm. So she took over in 2007, and I think the first tournament team was 2013, I remember, with Crystal Bradford, mm-hmm. and they just got better and better.
She
and
torched
then,
Toledo. Yeah, I will never forget that.
she did that a lot, and she was fun to watch. She was a character, and she actually just came back recently for a game, so that was cool to to have her back. But, I mean, the way that Coach G, the GOAT in Mount Pleasant, as we all refer to her as, built up that program, and then to see two MAC schools go to the Sweet 16 in 2018, yeah. like, it was – CMU was the magical run, but, like, Buffalo – was such a great team under Felicia Leggett-Jack. And mm-hmm. to have them both go to the Sweet 16 and have two MAC teams on display and the run that they both made, I mean, it was just an encapsulation of an awesome run in the Mid-American mm-hmm. Conference, and especially for CMU. So pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, I can imagine just having – that energy around campus had to have been crazy, you know, just you're advancing in the tournament. And we saw it with multiple NCAA teams since then, just how hard it is after that first win to get that second win. And then to for CMU to get that second win, to make it to the Sweet 16, they were real close to the Elite Eight. If I remember correctly, I don't remember the game specifically, but I feel like I remember that was a close game to possibly move on to the Elite Eight.
It was close, I think, in the first half, or it was in Spokane, and Oregon, I believe it was Oregon. They were pretty darn good. And they ended up winning that one by probably 15, 20, maybe more. I actually was jealous because I only did the home TV game. So I wasn't traveling with the radio crew. So I was like just fangirling like everybody else, like watching this team, like win against Ohio State and get to the Sweet 16 mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And man, it was like, you understand, March, the madness, the run that your team goes on to win the conference tournament, be on Selection Sunday or Selection Monday, and then go to the NCAA tournament and have an opportunity to win a game in advance. Like, oh, there is nothing like that magical March ride. And whether it's men, women, it doesn't matter. It's fun to sit back as a fan and just take it in.
Now, when obviously basketball season comes to a close, and this is all kind of still in your first year, we're coming up on the fall now. Do you do anything with baseball and softball or anything like that?
Yeah, I actually just started doing, I did CMU baseball from, I think, 2014 to 2018.
Okay.
And then I stopped because I left CMU full time because it was more of a video role that they had me in. Okay. And I started working with the Lansing Lugnuts, the current high A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. So I've been doing that since 2019. And then since CMU brought me back as like the full-time voice, just this last couple of years here, I've gotten back into baseball. So I do just the home games and do the MAC tournament and then the NCAA tournament if they get there. So I actually missed our tournament runs because I wasn't doing them, and now I've come back. But you talked about being able to mentor individuals. That's been one of my favorite parts is there's, you know, 10 to 15 students that they get the opportunity on our student station to do softball and baseball. And I'm working with them throughout the year on their play by play. And that's why I only do the home games for CMU baseball. And I'd like to eventually get to where I don't do any of the games because I remember getting those opportunities as a student myself to call these games. And it really helped me get better and kind of figure out who I was on the air and get those reps. And that's been a big part, kind of full circle of like, hey, you're getting to do all these games, but also getting an opportunity to help these young students figure out who they are on the air as well.
Sure. And I think that's such a critical part of one, the college experience as a student, but to have somebody who's a now seasoned veteran in the profession. I know that probably feels weird for you to hear that you are a seasoned veteran in this, but I think for students to have that opportunity to learn from somebody that's especially someone with your resume is pretty awesome. And I'm sure that they're extremely appreciative.
Yeah, that's all I can hope. Again, I remember being in their shoes when I was a student and wishing that there was a, you know, because Don was the play-by-play broadcaster when I was there, but he wasn't full-time. He had an investment job, so he just pretty much showed up for the games And being a young, like immature student, I didn't really like latch onto him because it was just seeing him at the games and he wasn't like around. So even if it's like, hey, just because I'm around and maybe more accessible, I hope that I can help out the students and give some of my experience here in the last 10 years and make them better at play-by-play or give them some ideas of what it takes to get better and better on the air. Because again, everybody will be different in their own way. But I remember thinking if I had those resources when I was in college, I would have absolutely loved the opportunity to continue to learn from someone right there that was local rather than trying to reach out to other individuals to get critiques and such like that.
Sure. I kind of want to talk about football a little bit. Obviously, you guys won the MAC championship 2019, just a whirlwind of a week leading into that game. You guys lost that MAC championship. I apologize. But just kind of that whirlwind leading into that.
Thanks for that, Alex. I'm sorry.
Adam just left the show. He just blocked my number. It's real awkward right now. So you guys were in the MAC championship. You guys played in a postseason game, and I don't remember right off the top of my head. But talk about going to bowl games. Obviously, the one I want to talk about, we'll talk about here with Washington State. But talk about just that bowl game experience. Obviously, a much different beast than a MAC championship game, much different beast than a regular season game. Just kind of talk about that experience.
Well, they hadn't been very good until that Washington State game. Unfortunately, not only had CMU not won since I think it was 2013 or 2014 when we won the Pizza Bowl. Mm-hmm. In Detroit, we beat Western Kentucky. And for whatever reason, like we were getting crushed. Like that bowl game that you're talking about in 2019, we lose the MAC championship, close game, didn't have our starting quarterback. And then we go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And San Diego State just puts it on us. We got wrecked. And then before that, it was going to the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. And mm-hmm. Josh Allen and the Wyoming Cowboys wrecked us. So it had been super fun to go out to these sites, by the way. Like Boise sure. was unreal. Albuquerque, great setting with the mountains in the back. But it was just like, why aren't we even competitive in these? It was just like the most right. peculiar thing because we had good seasons. And then, yeah, of course, the game where we're not exposed to play in the Sun Bowl. We're supposed to play in Tucson. We drive like 4 hours and come up with a brand new team that we're playing in a few days. That's the game we win, our last Power 5 win against Washington State in an iconic bowl game with Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson on the call. I don't blame people at all for not listening to our broadcast and listening to them. but that was cool, right? Like all these places are cool to go to, but those bowl games that you win and finish the season on a high note before you take a little break and get into spring ball, like, those are the moments that are so cool. And like the plane rides back of the guys just being fired up and just really, really fun moments that not a lot of people get to see behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Those bowl games are really special.
Now, you were a student there when Dan LeFever and was quarterbacking, weren't you?
That was just before me, actually. Okay. So I came I transferred in 2011. So right after he was there. Which is remarkable that I just missed that.
Right. I was going to say, I didn't know how much of an overlap there was, but but you did get to see, however, guys like Lou Nichols play football, who was just an incredible talent, in the backfield. But the week of that Sun Bowl, I remember, kind of just as a fan at home, just doing the podcast, and we had just recorded an episode talking about, oh yeah, you know, they're going to go play in Arizona and they're going to do this. And then all of a sudden the next day, right after we dropped the episode, it was like, by the way, they're going to the Sun Bowl. Mm-hmm. Talk about just kind of the whirlwind that week was. Cause I'm sure you were already in Tucson at that point, weren't you?
Yes. And this was actually before I was full-time with CMU. So like for a year, I call it the like most crazy 15 months of my life. I was working a remote job for Allstate during the day, trying to like, it was like post COVID. And I had tried like one other job when sports shut down because I was freelancing. And then I got this job with Allstate that was strictly like 8 to 4:30. So it was insanity of like work 8 to 4:30 every day, take calls, you're exhausted. And then you're going to Mount Pleasant to either call games or you're prepping for games, or you're going up to Mount Pleasant to do interviews for the school and everything, or you're going on a bull trip where you don't have enough PTO and you're working during the day in the lovely Tucson weather and you're prepped and ready for the game while working for Allstate during the week. And then they tell you, oh, by the way, new team, new bowl, new location, it's 4 hours away. So again, like my thing is very minuscule compared to like the administrators and the football players and the coaches of what they had to do. But like me, I'm like, oh, we're down in Tucson. I don't really get to experience it during the day because I'm working. That's okay. I'm excited for the bowl game. And then it was like, oh my gosh, you have less than 2 days to prep for a brand new football team and kind of get the history of this great Sun Bowl and then get out there and have enough energy after working all day long to make this happen. But again, like everybody came together. I give so much credit to the administration for finding a way, and obviously the football team for basically prepping for a team blind, because you don't really have a ton of time to put in like some of their schemes and what they're doing.
Right.
And then to go out there and get off to that great start. I think it was like 21-3 that they were up before they ended up hanging on at the end, because Washington State had a big second half and they forced some turnovers. But to win that game, to see Coach Mack get dumped with Frosted Flakes after the game, it was a crummy day too. It was like cloudy and windy, and you're like have this great setting of mountains behind you, and you're like, it's raining, the weather isn't great, but man, that's Sun Bowl champs. You beat Western Michigan that year. I think they won their final like five games of the season. It was remarkable the way that it finished. And they were a botched field goal attempts snap away against NIU from going to the MAC championship that game that year as well. So just the whole thing was like, oh my gosh, crazy year, crazy finish. COVID sends you to a different bowl and you still win against a Power Five opponent. Was so cool.
We were joking about kind of Coach McEwen's approach to that bowl game. You know, we just sat here, we imagined, because just talking to him at media days and stuff, you kind of get a feel for the kind of person he is. We just imagine he just put some dip in and said, all right boys, let's go win a bowl game, and just like that was his approach. And we just, and then they go out and win it. So that's that. I just, to see that was such an incredible moment for the school, just an incredible moment for the MAC. You get a Power Five win in a historic bowl game. Just an awesome opportunity all around.
Yeah, super, super awesome. Nothing else to be said there. To figure that all out, find a way to win, wrap up your season that way, and then collect the trophies, the Michigan MAC trophy, the Victory Cannon trophy, and then the Sun Bowl trophy. That was extremely heavy, by the way, but to see all three of those trophies, like in the Chippewa Champion Center on display for recruits and everything like that, it was really special what that team was able to accomplish.
Sure. Now, speaking of Coach McEwen, you host the Coach Mack Show. Is that correct? Or do you have a hand in that? Okay. Talk about that and kind of running that show with him. How does that work? How did that come about? Just detail that a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of two different things. Coach Mack is super down to earth for anybody that hasn't had a conversation with him. He's awesome to talk to. And during COVID, we actually started the Coach Mack podcast. So we were doing podcasts throughout the summer to try and like pass the time weekly. And we had guests on, like coaches and former players, like Greg McElroy was on there, his former quarterback at Alabama. He had Jason Candle on from Toledo. Like we had all of these coaches and players, and some of his assistants came on as well. And this was during COVID because we couldn't have a radio show. And then it turned into let's have the Coach Mack radio show. So that was something he started to bring in 2019. He did with Don and Brock.
Okay.
And then we had COVID and we did the Coach Mack podcast. And then we went back to the Coach Mack show, with some podcasts in there as well. But yeah, it's awesome. Like I honestly don't even need to be the host of the show. Like he just sits up there and we'll chat and kind of interview the players or the coaches that come up. Brock and I will ask him a few questions and he's just great on air. Like it's funny to joke with Karen, his wife, and be like, why is he still coaching? You know how great he is, like, on the air. And she's like, he's got a future in this, doesn't he? I was like, he could stop coaching right now and go be compelling on the air and do just fine.
Yeah.
So he's just, he's a real authentic dude. He'll tell you like it is, and he'll have fun, which is great. I mean, most coaches, or a lot of coaches, rightfully so, are so like uptight and like coach speak and want to just deliver the message home to their team. And they're so locked in on football, where he's able to separate the two, and he focuses on football, and he's got all this great experience, and they've had winning seasons after winning seasons in the places he's been. But like on a Thursday night at the coach's show, it's like the most relaxed that Coach Mack is. He just wants to talk ball. He wants to have fun, and it makes my job super easy. And it's compelling to listen to.
Sure. Now, do you guys do that at like a local restaurant, a local bar, or is that on campus?
Yeah. So it switched a couple of places. We've done it at Hunter's Ale House, which is a brewery. We've done it at the Cabin, which is a bar. And now we do it at Ascend Sports Bar, which is in the casino. And it's like this brand new kind of sports betting lounge. And it's awesome. We're up on a stage. The audio comes out super crisp. There's great food and drinks there. And we actually have gotten a pretty good crowd. So we've done our football coaches show there, but we've also got our basketball coaches show that's taken off there as well. And in my opinion, I think it's the best spot we've had any coaches show for, just in terms of the ambiance, the sound, and the ability for people to come out and just take it in.
Okay, very cool. I want to ask you about Mount Pleasant for a hot second. Favorite places to eat? You know, I was up there earlier this year for the Toledo Central Michigan game, but that day was unbearably cold. It was like, I think you remember that. It was like, I don't know, it felt like it was 3 degrees. I'm sure it was like in the 20s, but it was awful. It was windy. But places to eat in Mount Pleasant, where are some of your favorite places? Where are the places you always send people? You got to go here. This is the place you need to eat. Kind of give me that Mount Pleasant food scene.
Max and Emily's, Alex, is the only thing you need to know.
Okay.
When you need a sandwich, when you need some lunch, maybe some soup, you can get some cookies there. You can get that Max and Emily's wonderful stench on your clothes because you sit inside. Ah, Max and Emily's, they cater all of our football games. They have, man, they've got like so many different options for sandwiches. You can get them hot. You can get them cold. They have some breakfast options there. Okay. If you're lame like me, you get the same thing every single time, even though you try and tell yourself, I'm going to try something new today. Max and Emily's is awesome. Elmo runs it for us. He's a big CMU Athletics guy. He helps cater some of the football meals, like in the summertime. They're super appreciative, a sponsor for CMU Athletics. And again, they cater the media food. So when you came up for the freezing cold football game, it was Max and Emily's that was
okay
catering it. I love that place. It's a great lunch spot. In terms of dinner, I like Mountain Town. Mountain Town is a brewery, with Camille's attached right next to it. They've got great beer options and they've got an array of food choices as well. So those are probably my top two. And then for the good people like me that are breakfast people first, because anytime I can go to one of these Mac spots and I can find that good hole in the wall diner, that's it, man. That makes my day. You gotta go to Stan's in Mount Pleasant.
I've heard about Stan's.
It's a classic. The booths are like falling apart. You sit down and you feel like you're gonna break the booth seat, but that's part of the allure. And they've got all the options you would want and more. It's right downtown. Or you can go to the diner. The diner is a little bit off of North 127, like if you go through downtown, and they've got great skillets there.
Okay.
So those are some of my top spots. I've got breakfast, lunch, and dinner covered for you.
Well, see, now I just have to come up to Mount Pleasant and have all three with you.
Yes, you do.
It's as we kind of wrap this up, just kind of give me the one thing that you've learned in your time doing this, like the one thing that stands out to you the most as this not necessarily profound, I don't really know how I want to phrase this, but kind of one thing that you've kind of learned along the way that just says, yeah, this is what broadcasting is about.
I think this is kind of cliche because you hear it a lot from different industries and everything, but it's just be your authentic self. I mean, broadcasting is something where you're putting yourself out there and people are immediately able to judge you on if they like you, they hate you, the way that you said it, the way that you didn't properly say it, the way that you called that touchdown or whatever it is. Just be who you are because people can tell when you're not being yourself. And that's what I try and do on the air is I'm a person that wears my emotions on my sleeves. I have the tricky task of doing TV games for CMU where I'm supposed to be impartial. And then I have the task of being the radio guy and the voice of the school where I bleed maroon and gold. So in a way, when you wear your emotions on your sleeve and you went to the school and you've been calling games for the school in some capacity for a decade, and you get to know the players, the coaches, the administrators, you want your school to win. So it's much easier in my mind to do the radio than the TV because I can just kind of let myself go. But also it's unfair if I'm not giving the credit to the opposing teams on the TV telecast. I always think like there's going to be more visiting fans watching a Central Western game in Mount Pleasant than there are CMU fans. Because if you're watching or if you're paying attention, you have the ability to go or you're in Mount Pleasant. So yeah. Part of that is just not worrying about what others have to say and hoping that your preparation and your experience and the hard work that we all put into this. I mean, Alex, I love being around people that want to be great at things, that care about being great. And that's how I want my broadcast to come out is Adam takes his time and makes sure that he's putting every ounce into this broadcast being the best that it can. And the people around me, the multimedia department led by Andrew Gerber, our super talented students, our administrators, our communications department, there's a lot of like, we want to do great things in Mount Pleasant, or that's the vibe that I get. And it's fun to be a part of. And the way that I like to be a part of that is just being me and trying to bring out my most authentic personality on the air, because that's the main thing about being a broadcaster. You're trying to find your personality from your everyday life and bring it onto the microphone in a confident way where, yes, you hope that people like it, but you also can't concern yourself too much with what people think about you because you're just being you and you're doing the best that you can do. So believing in yourself and being your authentic self, I think, are the biggest pieces of advice and experience that I've learned through broadcasting here over the last decade.
That's awesome. No, I said, we're wrapping this up, but Adam, I just wanted to say thank you so much for giving me the time this morning. I know by the time you guys at home are listening to this, Adam will have broadcasted Central Michigan versus NIU. So you guys, hopefully tune into that. I can't go back in time and tell you to go tune into that, but hopefully you guys check that out tonight. But Adam, I'm so appreciative of you just giving me your time, sharing your story. It's every time I speak to you, I feel like I learned something new, and I'm appreciative to have this friendship and to have you on the show this week.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for doing this. It means a lot that you'd be willing to sit down with me, and always enjoy our chats. And I know I said it earlier, but I mean it, man. The content that you put out for the conference, I wake up this morning like a crazy old man at 5 a.m. and I've already seen a tweet from you about how we're excited about the Mac football release schedule-wise. And I'm like, yes, I love this. What else am I supposed to scroll on X when I wake up at an ungodly hours? Alex has for sure tweeted something out. So, man, your wall-to-wall coverage, not just for football, not just for basketball, for every sport in the MAC, you have us covered. And, dude, I love people with passion about things that they love. And you are certainly passionate about college athletics and the Mid-American Conference, man. And it's awesome to see you keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate the kind words. Where can people find you on Twitter X? I'll so Elon doesn't kick the show off of his platform. Where can people find you on Twitter X?
Yeah, if you'd like to visit my petty thread about how people misspell my name, you can go and correctly spell my name to find me. It is @ADAMJAK. SA on X. And I can't promise that it'll be entertaining or that you'll enjoy it, but shoot me a follow and I'll shoot you a follow back. And hopefully you're looking for some Central Michigan content, because that's about all that it is.
Well, Adam, again, thank you so much for joining me. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Please, please, please continue to check out social media. You can check out the website, www.themscpodcast.com, and you can find me on all social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, X, at The MSC Podcast. And if you want to, subscribe to the YouTube page at MSC Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.